Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Some are the miracles that are performed at the hands of a Nabi. That we call Mu'jiza. Then there's a miracle that takes place at the hands of a Nabi before Nubuwwat. That is called Irhas. Then you get a miracle or something that is supernatural that takes place at the hands of an ordinary Muslim. That is called Mu'unat. And then the last is something supernatural but taking place at the hands of a wali, that is called karamat. Karamat literally means to honor. So this person is being honored on account of him emulating Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore you say karamat. This masala had come up in India in some zamana, some time, and it was being discussed from one end to the other, where Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah says that if the woman is in the east and her husband is in the west, and she gives birth to a child, and the husband doesn't dispute, he doesn't deny, so the child will be called legitimate. Asked for the proof, so Abu Hanifa says, نَحْنُ نُؤْمِنُ بِكَرَامَاتِ الْأَوْلِيَةِ. We do believe in karamat. So believing in karamat is part of your faith. Maryam alayhi salam would receive unseasonal fruit. And she was in a closed closet that was closed. There was nobody that could get the unseasonal fruit, fresh fruit she would get. And Zakariya alayhi salam was in charge, so he would ask, Anna laki hada? She would say, Huwa min indillah. This is from Allah Ta'ala. Maryam alayhi salam, she gave birth to a child without the agency of a father. Right? How this happened? Again, you say karamat. Women don't receive nubuwwat, right? You don't hear of a woman being a nabi or a rasul. But something supernatural, it's normal that a woman gives birth through the agency of a man. And here, she's given birth, but without the agency of a man. So that is called karamat. So this masla was being discussed. Like I explained early on, amongst people you get those that can reason very well, got sound reasoning, understanding, and that are not stubborn, it's easy to work with them. But the one that is stubborn or he is retarded, then it's difficult. You can't be wasting time with them. Two people. One person saw that, a woman saw that her friend removed her rings, nose ring, etc., Perhaps she was going to the bath, so she removed everything. Now, the friend that saw it, now, she didn't see something like this, that where a woman removes the ring, the nose ring, etc. So she came to the conclusion that she is widowed. And because she is widowed, therefore she took out all her jewelry, see? Like a woman that is widowed, then she will not wear any clothing that is attractive, good looking. She won't wear any type of perfume, any type of jewelry, etc. So she removed her jewelry and she was going to the bath, whatever. So now she came to the conclusion of her own self that she's become widowed, therefore she removed all the jewelry. Now she goes home and she notifies her husband, you know what, this friend of ours, and she has become widowed. You didn't even notify her husband. So he went, husband was another 2-3 hours away. He was working, but some 2-3 hours away. Like how from Surat to Bombay. And put up a sad face. And then he says, you know what? He says, you know what? Your wife has become widowed. So now, when he got the news that the wife became widowed, so he made arrangements for condolences, you know, to receive condolences. So all the arrangements, you know, chairs and whatever, normally they will bring chairs, some tea, whatever. So everything is there, and he's got a sad face. So one person saw a big crowd, one of his friends, and he also came there. So what happened? He said, no, you didn't hear my wife became widowed. But by you are alive, but how did she become widowed? So but what you're saying is making sense, but you know, the person that brought the news was very honest, very truthful. So now you get that class of people in the world, right, that are 1 cent short, 2 cent short, 50 cent short, you get that class. You mustn't think that this is only happened in the past. Before it should happen very rare, one in 200,000 people will get 1% is short. But now I think amongst people, in every 100 people at least must count about 10, 15, 20 people that are a couple of good sense short. Good sense short. But simple things, you know, common sense, they can't understand, they can't reason, they can't work out, they can't analyze, it's proper, simple. Logical things, common sense, but they can't understand, can't reason. What was like natural, what you're supposed to be understanding, that you can't reason. Right? Sometimes from your behavior you make it out, sometimes from his speech you make it out, sometimes from his ways you make it out, but this person doesn't have it. So some things are common sense, and common sense you're supposed to be having it. So sometimes it is the need of the mashayikh to correct people in this respect as well. Get you to understand right. Like, there is an integral part of our deen, social etiquettes. What we say, adab mu'asharat. So, you have two problems. One problem is one person that is teaching it. So the person that is teaching says, no, I know it, it's all right, right? So he doesn't apply it in his life because he's teaching it. And the other person who doesn't understand at all that Islam advocates social etiquettes. So you get two problems. One is the person is teaching it, but he doesn't apply it. Because he says, no, I'm teaching it, so I know what's there about social etiquettes. I know it. So he doesn't apply it. So when you sit with the person, you interact with him, talk with him, then you understand it, but this one doesn't know it. He doesn't have it. He feels he's got it, but he doesn't have it. And the other person doesn't even believe that social etiquette is part of Islamic culture, Islamic etiquette. It was the month of Ramadan. And generally, in the month of Ramadan, people come to the masjid, spend a little bit more time, hearts are soft, right? So the Khanqahs are also a little bit more active in that month, right? Especially in India. And the reason why they are more active in India is because the madrasas, they all close in Ramadan. So when they close all in Ramadan, so students, ulama-i-kiram will frequent the Khanqahs more around that time. Right. So Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, his whole tartib was different. His whole idea was make you to understand, reason, see what you're doing, think about what you're doing, look at consequences. Don't look at something from the narrow tunnel vision, only from the way that you think is right. What I say is right must happen. So don't look at it from that perspective only. Look from a broader perspective. And he would say, why I emphasize on these things here is because there are two types of duties, right? One is duties towards Allah Ta'ala, and one is duties towards people. As for Allah Ta'ala, his rights are great, very great, obviously. But all the rights and all the obligations are legislated by Allah Ta'ala himself. So whether it is the rights of people or the rights of Allah Ta'ala, they are rights of Allah Ta'ala. But for our uses and purposes, we say the rights of Allah Ta'ala and the rights of people. Right? That you may be able to understand. But the fact that he's legislated it, so all amounts to the rights of Allah Ta'ala. Right? You would say now, as far as the rights of Allah Ta'ala are concerned, then it is Allah Ta'ala's attribute to forgive. And he likes to forgive. إِنَّكَ عَفُونَ تُحِبُّ الْعَفُونَ. He likes to forgive. So for him to forgive is nothing. The greatest of sin is shirk, right? And someone makes tawbah sincerely, then Allah Ta'ala likes to forgive him. أَتَّائِبُ حَبِيبُ اللَّهِ. You ask for tawbah sincerely, then you are the friend of Allah Ta'ala. But as far as man is concerned, when you hurt a man, he may say that I have forgiven you, but it's not forgotten. So the hurt, that injury that is caused, is like stamped in the heart. It is endorsed in the heart. It's there. You want to forget it, but you can't forget. You see the person, and you are reminded of the misdemeanor. You're reminded of the discrepancy. You're reminded of the wrong that he's doing. Now, you get different classes of people. Some people will just keep quiet. Wrong has taken place, or they have been wrong, but they will keep quiet. They won't talk about it. And you get the second class who speaks out. So the one that doesn't speak out, he is mistaken for, he doesn't know what's going on. He's mistaken for, he's a simpleton. He's mistaken for a nobody because he doesn't speak out. People will take advantage of him because he doesn't speak out. Because he doesn't speak out, they feel, it's all right. He doesn't know what's going on. But now, he may keep quiet for multiple reasons. One reason is like to avoid a bigger problem, they may just keep quiet. Between Zuhr and Asr, the two major problems, right? People came and spoke to me. And the approach I had to show is I just keep quiet, saying, all right, inshallah, let's see what happens. Because I know now what's going to happen. This whole thing, they came without any appointment, and the case will take at least about 2-3 weeks to sort out. And nothing can be done now. Right? When nothing can be done now, then what's the use to entertain and speak to him and tell him? Can't give him any advice. Because you have to listen to the other party. Now that's a 2-3 week job, because there's a complaint, counter-complaint, then listen again, look at the merits, and then, now, people become so behis. Behis means insensitive, right? They become so insensitive, they bring all these problems in Ramadan. As though, since people are sitting in Atikaf now, they've got no feelings, nothing, absolutely they did. Listen, just tell them everything. So I try and understand that this is a case, it will take so long, Right? And now nothing can be done. The man that you're referring to, he's got also his own duties in Ramadan, Quran Sharif, etc. Everybody's got duties, right? Now let's postpone it for after Ramadan. No, no, you must tuck the person right in Ramadan. So you can't tell him anything because now he'll get upset. And you can't sort out the problem because it's not a day's issue. It's about, it's going to take place, it's going to take 2-3 weeks to sort out. So what do you tell the person? All right, inshallah, let's make sabr, inshallah, after Ramadan we'll see what happens. See, it's so insensitive. Don't realize, don't understand, don't reason. So people have become like that. Insensitive, unfortunately. So this social etiquette is to create that sensitivity. Understand what you're doing, consequences. Imagine, Rasulullah SAW, he taught us everything. There wasn't a thing that he left out. There's dates, and like you would present dates before guests, right? Like in our context, guests came around, then you would present some chocolates or something. Right? Or somebody's having tea, as guests having tea, then you present biscuits or something. So there'll be varieties of biscuits. You present it before the guest. So the guest will see now, all right, these are the varieties, and there are so many guests. I must just take one and of each and then carry on. But now, if that person is so insensitive, he's seeing there are 10 guests and there are 10 biscuits of each type, right? He takes 5 of one type, loads his plate. Now, he says, what's wrong? The host had offered me, so I took 5, so what's wrong with that? Now, it's difficult for the host to correct you at that time. But think of the other satis, there's only 10 pieces we've got here. Think of the others as well. So it's difficult for the host to say that, to correct him. Inna dhalika kana yu'udhin nabiyya fayastahi minkum. Try to understand, reason. Some things are common sense. So apply your mind. So Nabi Sallam can't speak about it. When you are his host and you're dragging your time here. So he can't speak about it. How can he say, like, leave now, you've eaten now, move. So he can't tell you this type of words. But you need to have that sensitivity. So that's social etiquette's all about. So Nabi Sallam, in a general forum, explain, Naha anil qiran. So, when something is being served, don't take two, take one. Just take one. Unless, now it is, there's so much of it, that it won't be a problem if you take 2-3. Say for example, there's 2 guests, right? And the host has presented, for example, 5 kilos of dates before you. So if you've taken more than one, not a problem. So it doesn't affect the other person. But as a rule, if there's just a limited amount and there are so many guests, then take one at a time. So as to be not unfair to the rest of the guests. Take one, you're enjoying yourself, and let others enjoy. That's Islam all about. Enjoy and let others enjoy. But then now the ulama-i kiram have taken out so many laws from this one etiquette. They say now anything that is done, anything is for common use. Anything that is for common use, be considerate to the other as well. A toilet, masjid toilet, is for common use. Your home toilet is also for common use. You will use it, your wife will use it, your child will use it. So leave it in a better state than you had visited it. This will apply also for the toilet, a public toilet, for example, a masjid, a madrasa, and even to an aeroplane, right? Now the aeroplane, now I got a problem there because I think they're overdoing it. The way they're squeezing the planes now, they're squeezing the toilet now. They couldn't find space now, so they squeeze the toilet. So to turn around becomes a problem. To make wuzu becomes a problem because there's a sink there and the mirror is protruding, like coming in front. So when you want to avoid the splashing, so you have to put your face into the sink. But now there is no space to do that, because there's a sink, and right face to face is the mirror. So at least those people are planning. You must realize someone, even if he's not making wuzu, he's going to wash his face. If he's going to wash his face, then the water has to drop somewhere, and there's no place for the water to drop. When there's no place for the water to drop, it's going to fall onto the floor. And that's going to become messy. Now, they should have thought that, you know, this is what's happening. Spending so much on the plane, but you squeeze that place. So that's the wrong of the plane, the company. They should have thought of these things. All right. Then the mistake of the passenger is, then he messes the whole place up, right? There's water all over, making wuzu or whatever, and messes the whole place. It's all water all around. And you ask him, well, I paid, you know, I got a valid right. Because I paid for it. But you paid for it, you paid for the services, you didn't pay to mess it up. So I say this common sense, you know, common sense. But you're going to use the toilet, the plane. The second person is going to use it. The third person is going to use it. So when so many people are going to be using it, then leave it in a better state than you had visited it. Even if it means you're going to clean the whole thing out, even the pan you have to clean it out sometimes, the floor you have to clean out, keep it crisp, keep it clean. Even though it takes you a little bit more time, right? Just clean the place properly. Right? So one etiquette. Then another etiquette is then, for example, using a public toilet, or an ishtima or whatever, right? Using a toilet or using a wuzu facility. So now, sometimes you are using the facility and everybody is using it around the same time, one and the same time, everybody is using it. Fajr time, everybody got up late and the whole thing is queued up. So now, as it's being queued up, it's a facility for everybody. Wuzu will take two and a half minutes maximum and come out. Now you're sitting down on the seat and you're doing a miswak. Itminan ke saath, properly. So now, you're holding the whole queue. Someone asks you, but bhai, miswak is a sunnat. Can't you understand? So you see, some people now, today, most people don't have it. They, a couple of cents short. They really, everybody is also. And you're looking at it, now you can't tell the person because you don't know him. Or if you're going to tell him, he's going to get upset. So both ways, you can't win. But that person need to understand, all right, I need to make the miswak. Let me do it before I come to the seat. As I come to the seat, then I'm going to just wash up quickly and move because someone else is waiting. It's a common facility. It's not exclusive to me. It's exclusive to me, all right. I use it differently. But when so many people are going to be using it, then let me be considerate to the others as well. You're in the toilet now. Even it's your home toilet, right? But you're sitting in the toilet and reading some magazine. Now, is it fair to the others? So, you know, I don't read all that. I can't pass out. And some people are even worse. No, I don't smoke, then I can't pass out. So smoke is coming from above, from below, all sides. He doesn't do that, then he can't pass out. But now, you're leaving the toilet in a state, the next person doesn't feel comfortable. You're comfortable with the smoke, but is the other person, your wife, your child, or your guest, anybody that comes to the toilet, is he comfortable with that? See this, Naha Anil Qiran. This is a it's a very comprehensive lesson. You come into a masjid, right? You enjoy the peace of the masjid. So now don't enter into a conversation, even though it may be a valid reason for what you are talking. But now it's a time everybody making zikr, Quran Sharif, tilawat or something. At that time, don't go and talk. Because the next person is getting affected. Try to understand, a little bit try to understand. Like you would enjoy that little bit of privacy, you will enjoy the peace. He also enjoys and appreciates the peace. So don't talk. I had to tell these things at some of the masjids. Now, people are sitting in the serfs. It's about 10 minutes before the namaz can start. He's talking something, all right, it's dini thing. He's also, so you're allowed to talk about dini things. But in the process, the other people are getting disturbed. That's one problem. The second problem is, he's talking, and he's talking for a valid reason, right? So the person that is observing, he says, well, that means talking in the masjid is permissible, it's all right. It's no problem. So let me also get into a conversation. When he is a senior, he knows about deen. See how his clothing, how his apparel is. Make out that he knows about deen. So he, when he can talk, then why can't I talk? So the second person. So this becomes, contagious. You doing it, the second person, some for a valid reason, for invalid reason, but it's becoming contagious. Everybody is doing it. And as a result, what happens? The peace of the masjid is lost. The masjid was a place of peace. Go and sit down, make zikr, Quran Sharif, talk to Allah Ta'ala, cry to Allah Ta'ala. Now that whole peace, that environment of peace is being ruined, violated. Why one person started it off, and second, and the third, and the fourth. The Quran Sharif, some places where it says, لا تقتلوا أنفسكم لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالبعض. Don't eat your wealth incorrectly, unjustly. Don't kill yourselves. It means don't kill your brothers. But why did the Quran Sharif use this type of an approach? Don't eat your wealth unjustly. In other words, there may be other nuktas, but one nukta that comes to mind is when you're going to be engaged in fraudulent business, right? Like in India, you have adding water to milk, for example, right? So you got, say, 2 kilos or 2 liters of milk. So you add, say, 1 liter of water. So you're supposed to be collecting, let's say, 20 rands a liter. So now you're going to get 20 rands a liter. You have 2 liters, but you made it into 3. So you're going to be collecting 60 rand in place of 40 rands. So you calculated and did this. So the next person found out that you're adding water to the milk. So he does that, and the third person, and the fourth person. What happens? The day you want to buy milk, you're buying the same quality of milk. So that batil is coming back to you. That unjust practice is coming back to you. You started it, but that same practice is coming back to you. You see? So open your minds. That's what adab muasharat, social etiquette, is telling you by open your minds. Understand, reason. Reason. You feel uncomfortable, the next person also will feel uncomfortable. What will make you feel comfortable will make the next person also feel comfortable. Right? When you need to correct someone, all right, it's a mistake. But if someone uses the approach that you are using, right, will you keep someone use the same approach that you use normally, right, on you, will you feel comfortable? Right? You just shout at the person. Just told him. What you were saying was right. We don't have any qualms with that. But the approach that you are using, someone uses the same approach against you, will you feel comfortable? When you won't feel comfortable, then don't use it for the others. Then think, reason, understand again. A little bit, understand. Zara samajh karke kaam karo. See this social etiquette. That's right. The whole essence of social etiquette is bahisht aaja bashad ke azare nabashad kase raba kase kare nabashad. What is Jannat? Jannat is that place where it's problem free. Nobody is in the way of the other. It's a problem free zone. Nobody is in the way of the other. That's Jannat. Can't we make this like Jannat? Can't we make it problem free? Nobody is in the next. You're coming into your own home, you're coming, right? But you're coming with a little bit of a delay. You know you're coming with a little bit of a delay. So there's two things you have to do. In this age and time, you have to do two things. If you're coming with a delay, then notify that I'm coming with a little bit of a delay, right? So the people of the house, they don't become uneasy. What happened to him? You hear of a hijack, you have a robbery, you have a shooting, what about things you have, right? So you know you're coming with a delay. Now at least notify them that you're coming a little bit with a delay, so that they don't feel uneasy. And I say it in this way, that if you are expected by, say, your flight or whatever, you expected it about, say, to reach home at about 3 o'clock, then you tell them, no, I'll be reaching around 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. So if you reach a little bit earlier, they're not excited. But if you reach later, then you're covered up for yourself. But now you see, I'm reaching at 3 o'clock, and there was a delay, and you came home at about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, so you're creating a feeling of anxiety. with the roads today, you know, how there's an accident or something, and how the traffic builds up, right? And you get a delay sometime, 1 hour, 2 hour delay. So all these things you have to preempt. An imam is going to a masjid nowadays, right? You're going to give a Jummah talk, you have to preempt the situation. All right, I'm going for a Jummah, then I must leave at least about 2 hours earlier than my schedule. Now you see, what must I do in the masjid so long? But what will you do in the traffic so long? Do you think about it? What will you do? It's better for you to be sitting in the masjid 2 hours earlier. Take some of your paper, do some of your work, some kitab, mutala, whatever, do that. But be there earlier than being later. When this is expected, you preempt, it's going to be a problem, some accident, some problem on the road, some delay or something. And it is you that's going to be delivering the talk. Then you can't say, oh, there was a traffic jam, I got caught up. You plan yourself 2 hours in advance. All right, now I'm coming there 2 hours in advance. So I don't have a problem. See, this is all social etiquette, seeing the halat. So this is the one thing that you're supposed to be doing, coming at a late hour, right? Second thing, you're coming at a late hour, or you're getting up at an odd time. Say you want to go to the toilet or something, but at an odd time you're getting up. So don't disturb the peace of the house. You're getting up for tahajjud, for example, right? So the buzrug has to notify the whole world, I'm getting up for tahajjud. So he's making miswa. Take all the belgum out, but the whole world must get to know that he's making tahajjud namaz. Put switch on the light, take out his phlegm, right? Make a big noise, and then go. Do the rest of the house need to know that you are performing tahajjud? Do your own thing peacefully, calmly. Don't disturb anybody at that time. Because everybody's resting at that time. For your ease, you're disturbing the whole house. I say, is it fair to them? Some people are such that they are very... it's difficult for them to get to sleep, right? And they're very light sleepers. The slightest thing disturbs the sleep. And when their sleep is disturbed, then for them to get the sleep again becomes very difficult. So you see, when any facility is used commonly, you need that quiet. Everybody needs it. So now respect the other person. You need to correct the situation, so you can also require correction. So how must I correct? Think about 20 times before you correct. What's the style? How must I say it? Must I say it? Is it the right time to say it? Think about all these things there. You won't make a mistake. But you don't think and you let drive. You will hurt others. Then later on say, hey, Eid day now. Let me go and make maaf now. Eid day now. Postpone the maaf for Eid. See? But you cause the pain. Now, after so long now, then hug the person and say, make maaf. Jo bhi ho gaya ho, to maaf karna. You don't even see what happened. But make maaf. So all these things come about because yes, qillat-e tatabbur, na sochne ki wajah se. So we started off this story, month of Ramadan, and then I branched off to all this thing here, just to show what it means, how it applies. Now, I can't give you every situation. I gave you the principle, now I apply the rest of it. The details you should apply. So it's the month of Ramadan, right? And the khanqahs are all flourishing. Murids, khalifas, ulama kiram, Bureau of the madrasas. Thana Bhavan is also flourishing. All ulama from different parts of the country are there. So it's one alim now, and he leaves his seat to sit next to another person. So after it's fajr time, his fajr is over, so people are doing the individual ibadat. So as they're doing the individual ibadat, one alim gets up from his place and he sits at another spot next to another person. Mulana Thani Rahmatullah is right at the back and he's observing. So he calls this alim. You came for Islah, came for correction. People think Khanqah is only zikr, finish now. It means zikr and it's over. No. Correct yourself as well. See, like I said, when you hurt a person, he doesn't forget. The stain is there. That mark is still there. It's difficult for him to delete it. He may have forgiven you, but it's there. So why leave a mark? Why leave a stain? So Mawlana called this alim. Mawlana, you left your place to come and sit next to this person. Why was it that you left your place to come and sit next to this person? So he says, no, I wanted to recite Quran Sharif. Mawlana said, all right, let me rephrase myself. Like I said, people have, they're a little bit dense, you see. So you rephrase. So I want to ask you that you left your space. You had a place, but why you left your place and came and sat down here? He said, Mawlana, you know what? I noticed that you were behind me, some meters behind, 12 meters behind. So my back was towards you, and I was avoiding that. Therefore, I left that spot and I came and sat here. All right, that is answered. But why next to this person here? See now, long cut, it's taking time now. Why next to this person? Now he's silent. So, I want to ask him, but now you sat down next to this person here. Was it the right thing? So Mawlana is making him talk. Because, see, an alim's islah is done at a different level, and a common person's islah is done at a different level. An alim's islah is done at a higher level because he's going to dispense islah and correction. And a common person is not going to dispense, just for himself is enough, right? The alim has to be at a public forum, he's going to be talking, he's going to be an example for hundreds of people. So his islah has to be done in a more refined way. So you came and sat at this spot next to this person. What was the reason? Now he's silent. So then Mawlana prompts him now, he says, all right, do you think now sitting there was the right thing? Sitting next to this person, when there was so much of space available, all right, you moved there because you were avoiding letting your back be turned towards me, that I understand. But then why did you sit next to this person here? So now he was stuck, no answer for that. So now then prompts him, says, all right, I want to know from you, when you sat down next to him, do you think that that was the right thing? Now he says, no, I don't think it was the right thing. Why? Because he was in secret dialogue with Allah Ta'ala, making dua or zikr or whatever, and he needed the space. Right? You sat down next to him, so you violated his space. His space was violated, like when you're sitting for zikr or dua, then you want to cry sometimes, you want to become emotional, you get affected, right? And you see someone around you, then you get disturbed, right? Especially if it's an acquaintance, then you feel disturbed, your space is violated. So Mawlana explained, now, don't you think that person's space is violated? You know, yeah, I didn't make a mistake. I have made a mistake. So now, eventually he began to realize, he began to understand that there's a mistake. You see this, you're talking of social etiquette. How do you work with people? There won't be any fights. There won't be any problem, no fight, no drama. But humare log aise hai, ki drama ke bagheer unka khana hazam hota nahi. Our people are such that without drama and action, the food is not digested. There must be some showdown in the masjid, outside the masjid, here, there. There must be some showdown. Then you feel, yeah, no, I've done it. Put the person in his place. Showed him. Is Islam? Is this Islam? So now when he said that it's a mistake, someone said, all right, I made a mistake. He's correcting who? An alim. So the level of correction will be at a higher level. So one asking, all right, what should be the... You made a mistake, you understand. So what should be the penalty for the wrong that you have done? Because you came to correct yourself, and if there isn't a strain on you, then you won't correct yourself. So what should be the penalty? He thought for a moment, it's all right. What I will do is I will straighten the shoes outside the masjid on the racks, you know, all the racks, all the shoes are put in one place nicely. So, wow, people say, what a big tawazu, hey, what so much tawazu, see this person here. What a big Molana in everybody's shoes, he's placing neatly on the rack. So much of humility he's got. So that's actually publicity you're attracting. You're attracting more publicity. Or what I'll do, the drains in the wuzukhana, I'll go and wash it, clean myself. That's even worse. If you're going to be cleaning the drains with your own hands, that's going to be attracting even more publicity. Now, Mora is making him talk, you see. So why it's an alim? An alim, you need to open the mind. And he has to be working at a bigger forum. More responsibility. That's why they ask you to go not to go out for 4 months, for 1 year. Because your responsibility is greater. So he said, all right, then for some days I'll go out of Tanabon, as though you have got marching orders, get out. Get out for some time. Right. So Mora said, yeah, this is the right thing. Because that's a strain. I have been asked, I've been expelled. I've been suspended for 3 days, 5 days, 6 days, I've been suspended. So to leave the person in suspense, he feels a strain. So the penalty must be such, okay, you feel a strain about what you have done. Until you don't feel a strain, then there's no correction. You did a wrong, and were a multi-millionaire, you gave 10 rand in sadaqa. Every day you could do that. Is there any strain? There's no strain. Yeah, you're a multi-millionaire, you gave 500,000 for the wrong that you have done. Will you do it again? Say, hey, that costed me 500,000. I can't do this again. So he said, no, all right, I'll go out for some time. He said, go out and you write up to me. He said, go out. You'll go out to Hazrat Imam Masihullah Sahib, go there and write a letter. So he wrote a letter and Hazrat Ji replied back to his letter. Sab maaf hai aur dil saaf hai. Before, there was something that was not clear in my heart, but now that you wrote the letter, now I've forgiven everything and my mind is clear. So that's a sign, inshallah, that Allah Ta'ala also, your muamla will be clear. Everything will be clear. But you see this social etiquette. How to make the next person comfortable. I've done this. Is it the right thing? Not right thing? Do I think about it? So it weighs heavy on your mind. You think, all right, I'm supposed to be doing this. So you think of all the possibilities. Then you take a step. When you thought of all the possibilities, and then you took a step, then inshallah, you will not make a mistake. Mumkin ihtimalat, all the possibilities. This possibility. You won't be in anybody's way. You won't hurt anybody. Then, isn't it a pleasure to be working and living with such a person? Allah Baktofi Nasibara.